All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. July 18th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. I hope it's great wherever you are at. We have definitely been under a heat wave and got up this morning a little cooler. Still hot, but a bit of a break. I think I shared, or I don't know if I've shared, but, you know, the boys are around, so we joined the gym. So we've been going to the gym. It was really funny. I think I talked about the paddling and sort of needing to take a break and thought I would jump into the gym. And so we all signed up last week. I guess it was probably last Monday. I went into our local gym. I mean, we have several, but the one that's kind of close to us, we went down. And I signed us up, and then later on that morning, me and my two boys went down to the gym and lifted up some weights, and it was pretty awesome. And then, of course, you know, we're in it, right? We're in it to win it. And then the following day, a little sore. The following day, we hit back the gym, bang out some more weight, and then I woke up Wednesday, and I was hurting. We were all hurting. I'm not sure my oldest son was hurting. He's pretty fit. He's into, you know, working out and stuff. But me and my middle son, we were like, oh. And then I ended up actually paddling on Wednesday, which is brutal because I was in so much pain. And but, you know, got through it. And then we were going to try to go back to the gym on Thursday, and my middle son was like, I can't. He had dinosaur arms, right? He couldn't even lift up his arms, and I could barely lift up mine. And so we skipped it, and we were supposed to pick it up again this morning, and I think we're going to pass. We'll try to go on Sunday. You know, that is, and it's not that I have forgotten, but it is a shocker how sore I get when I go back to the gym. Oh my God, just brutal. And poor Sam, I mean, he was like, oh, he was hurting. So, you know, I don't think we overdid it. I don't really see anything that we did that was really too much. I just think the act of doing something, and you know, we're all pretty active, but nothing, you know, nothing fires up that the amino acids, right? Like working out in the gym. And so we were all been in a little bit of pain. I did get up this morning. I decided I wanted to go for a run. And I did that and then jumped in the pool. And that was nice and relaxed. I got to be to work around 10:30. So I thought I'd try to come up and do a podcast, which is always a lot of fun. And I went to the grocery store. And, you know, one of the cool things about being in recovery, and it was one of the things I noticed early on about being in recovery is, you know, if we spend a little time in the meetings, we start to, you know, we meet a lot of people. Turns out a lot of people, at least in my area, actually, I know in other areas, I think we probably have smaller meetings in most areas, but, you know, most communities, there's quite a few people that, you know, work on recovery. And it's the same here in this community. And I remember early on going to meetings and then going to like the grocery store or something afterwards and running into people from the program and, you know, of course, keeping it all anonymous, you know, the little nod. But I just remember how cool that was just all of a sudden, because I had come from a world of no friends, right? I had people that I associated with, you know, I thought that the people I worked with were my friends. Turns out they were not. I thought that the people that I lived around were my friends. Turns out they were not. Turns out I really didn't have any friends. And turns out I probably hadn't had any friends for a very long time, even maybe since as far back as high school. And I don't even know if they were really my friends, to be honest with you. So to come into this program and then all of a sudden, you know people, right? I think that was always something. When I was in my active addiction and I would see people that had relationships with people, and I don't mean like, you know, romantic, I just mean, you know, friendships. I would always be a little jealous, right? Always be a little, I wish that was me. I wish I had friends. I wish I could associate with people and be known. And And that started happening when I got sober, you know. Not that that's a good thing or a bad thing. It's just, it is what it is. But I just remember going to the store and running into people from the program and then waving and, you know, and sincerely looking at me and saying, hello, hey, what's up, man? How are you? And so I've always loved that. My kids, you know, now having worked in this program almost 30 years, right? 28 years of not continuous sobriety, but, you know, I've been nose to the grindstone for the last 28 years. You end up meeting a lot of people, and everywhere we go, everywhere I go with my kids, we run into people, and more than likely, they're mostly from recovery. And they're like, you know everybody. And my daughter's like, you should be the mayor. And it's just, you know, being sober for a long time. And it's really cool. But so yesterday I went to the grocery store, right, and ran into another buddy of mine who I've known for a long time, right, known as him and his wife. And I was like, hey, man, what's going on? And he's like, hey, how you doing, man? I go, good. He goes, what are you doing on Friday? And I go, oh, I'm not sure why. I go, why do you need someone to speak? And he's like, yes, I do. And he runs, I think he does, or at least he used to, but he was sort of associated with the recovery place up in Milford. And he had asked me prior in the past to come speak at this place, Banyan, which is a recovery facility. That's the place where I actually stood up and shared, which was scary as hell, but I did it. And, but of course, he's like, yeah, man, I need someone to speak tomorrow night or Friday night. And I was like, yeah, of course. Tool, 4 Degrees, I guess. It's off of their first album, first EP. Great song, great band, great EP, great album. I'll never forget. I was absolutely in my drinking addiction when that album came out. Yeah, really good. But yeah, so anyway, it's just one of the many gifts, I think, of being in recovery and working a program. And, you know, obviously being in a small town helps, but yeah, it's really cool. And I definitely am blown away anytime I go anywhere and run into people I know. It's very cool that aren't mad at me, right? So, yeah, I just, you know, some interesting stuff. I talked the other day about a couple of the guys that I've been sponsoring. And my one buddy, M1, he spoke Wednesday. M2 spoke a couple Wednesdays ago. And, you know, I had another friend of mine text me yesterday. No, I guess it was on Wednesday afternoon, saying, "Hey, can M2 or M1 speak tonight?" And both of these guys have, you know, they're both, you know, under a year. But I'm like, I said, honestly, you really should call him. I'm not going to. Or he said, "Hey, can you see if so-and-so will speak for me tonight?" And I was like, here's his number. You can call him. I'm not going to ask him. I don't want my relationship influencing that. I don't want him to feel like he needs to because I asked. I mean, I think he should definitely share, but, and that's still, you know, the jury's out on that even. You know, I guess if you're doing pretty well, I guess 7 months, 8 months, you could probably share. I was always told wait a year, but, you know, things change. So, and actually he did reach out. He did agree. He did speak and he did a great job. Really appreciate those guys. I'm grateful that they're in my life and that, you know, we're sort of going through this journey together. He's an awesome guy and he really did well. I was very proud of him. But you know, I talked about how after my one buddy spoke, M2, he was approached by someone else in the program who told him that he needed to do the fourth step. And of course he comes to me and he's like, so-and-so suggested this and what do you think? And I wasn't thrilled by the whole thing only because I think my ego sort of was getting involved. And one of the nice things about these two guys is we've really been just taking this pretty slow. Right. I've seen, like I've said, man, I see people go first day, you know, first week. I just am like, come on, let's just take our time. These guys are pretty chill. I mean, it's not, you know, they're not, it's whatever. I was just like, you know, we're just chilling. We're just taking our time. We're not, no big hurry. And then, of course, this happens. And then I was a little annoyed. But then I had to say, you know, what's my issue with this? And the reality is I should have no issue. We should, you know, like I told them, it's their journey. And so, yada, yada, yada. We've slowly been working on it. And, you know, I had talked to my one friend, and he was telling me, and this, you know, and this is, I think, you know, especially when I came into the program, you know, all of a sudden, I had come from this place where, you know, and this is about me. This isn't them. I'm talking about my situation. But when I came to the program, you know, I had been living a life that was very shady. You know, lie, cheat, and steal, right? Lie, cheat, and steal. But it was all, you know, it was very selfish lifestyle. And, you know, I came into the program and automatically, you know, I had to be better. I mean, I got to be better, but I felt like I had to be better. And I was better. It was a nice change and, you know, a lot of, you know, new emotions and new feelings and new relationships, right? New experiences came rushing in. You know, it turns out drinking vodka every day really limits me from having a decent life. And it turns out that if I can put that freaking bottle down, life is ready. You know, the people are willing, they're waiting to bring me in and be friends and have a good time. But I just had to push past that one problem. And so it's all new, right? And my friend was telling me, he goes, you know, he was looking for a job and then he finally got a job. Or not finally, I think he got a job in a you know, pretty reasonable amount of time. And the person that he works for told him, you know, this is when you need to be to work. You know, it's kind of set up this time and, you know, we work till this time and it's this out many hours. But it sounds like where he works is sort of loose. Like some people come in at 7, right, and they work to a certain time. Some people come in at 9 and they work to a certain time. So there's this kind of looseness with it. And it almost sounds like it's self-policing. Like, if you know what time you come in, you know what time you work till, yada, yada. And my buddy was working, and he'd come in at a certain time. And he was leaving. His day was done. He was leaving, and the person that was working there said, "Oh, cutting out early, huh?" And he wasn't. He wasn't cutting out early, but he was cutting out because he had been come in earlier, but this person didn't know that, right? And so, you know, a normal person, right? Just saying normie kind of stuff. You know, and when we're in recovery, we say something like that, and then we feel bad. We're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. But normal people, they're like, hey, cutting out early, huh? You know, not a second thought about it, right? But of course, my buddy, who is, you know, new to recovery and new to this, you know, emotions and feelings and, you know, and I remember before, you know, when I was at the end of my drinking, when I came back in for the last time, you know, I was spending my day drinking. You know, I had a landscape company, and I would come in, I'd get the crew ready, I'd get them all on their jobs, and then I would go to the liquor store and I'd go find some back end street or some, you know, hidden place, and I would sit in my truck and drink and smoke cigars and just this disgusting, and that would be my whole day. And then, you know, trying to manage it all, right, and trying to remember what I've done, and then having to, at the end of the day, you know, pack it all up and then come home to my wife, and I was, you know, drunk, and it was just, it was really, really an ugly period in my life, very ugly. And so when, you know, when I came back into the program, you know, I'm just completely raw. And, you know, this is how my buddy is. You know, he's been, you know, and I won't share his story specifically, but he was, you know, like all of us, where he was living another lie, right? He was managing this alcoholism, while trying to pretend that he wasn't one, right? He was managing this job and pretending that he had one when he had already lost his job, right? I think we've all done stuff like this. And so, you know, to all of a sudden get sober and come into this real world and then, you know, deal with people, you know, when this guy said this to him, it really bugged him, as it would me, because I'm probably, and this is just for me, but I'm probably amazed I even have a job and I'm sober, right? So, you know, but the guy said something, hey, you cutting out early or something like that. It was probably innocent, but, you know, we're sensitive, and it bugged my friend. It bugged him. Not to a point where he was like, you know, yelling and stuff, but I could tell he brought it up. He mentioned it to me. You know, I could see the gray area where I could see where there would be maybe some confusion, and I could see how people could, you know, believe one thing and then throw a new freshly recovering alcoholic in there. And we're, you know, I was way oversensitive, right? Very emotional, oversensitive, took everything to heart. And so, you know, fast forward a few days and, you know, we had started talking about doing that four step. We mentioned it last week. And so I talked to him last night, and I'm like, have you started, because, and let me back up just a little bit. You know, I talk to my buddy every day, and he's like, you know, the other day, you know, he went into work earlier. You know, I think maybe, and I don't know the situation, but there does seem to be some looseness of when you can come and go there. And I think my buddy's decided he wants to go in earlier so that he's more in line with probably with the guy that said something to him. And so we've been talking about this for a few days. So I talked to him last night, and he said that, you know, he went to work. He had a good day, and he went to work at 7 or something like that. And, you know, everything's been better. And I asked him, I go, have you been working on your four step? You know, because, you know, my buddy suggested he should do it. And he said, yeah, I've been, you know, I picked it up on Monday and I've been working on it. And, you know, another side note, anybody, you know, four steps are freaking, let me not do that. Let me finish this. So I said, hey, and by the way, did you put that guy that mentioned, you know, hey, you cutting out early on your fourth step? And he goes, he was the number one person I put on there. And I was like, exactly, right? Because this is, you know, when my buddy had suggested to him that he do a fourth step, I was bothered because I want to, or I hope, and I remember even when I did it, you know, I don't want them to try to do a fourth step from the head. Right. I don't want the ego. I don't want the fear. I don't want self. I don't want, you know, the wolves involved. When I did my first four step, it was, you know, it had been, it was led up by a lot of talk of how scary the four step is, right? Fear, 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 and worry. And then doing the four step and a list of all my bad traits and bad things I've done. And it just really came off as a, just one more piece of that I'm a shithead pie. And I did only enough to get by, just like the fifth step, and I think it was a real issue. And so I didn't want to see these guys go through that same thing. And so I was always to believe, let's just focus on our third step, and then eventually, you know, as life comes at us, you know, we'll start to put these things into a fourth step. But only, you know, it's like, you know, finding a, you know, a piece of electronic equipment with no instructions. But you love it and you want it to work and you want to use it and you don't know how. And when the situation comes up where that would work perfectly, we have to go find the instructions because we are interested. It's not because someone comes up and says, hey, I need that piece of equipment. I need it to work now. And then there's fear and worry and we're searching out of fear to find this equipment or instructions. We have it come up in our life and then we can kind of, you know, put it down. And I said, this is what I was hoping for. And that way, when situations come up like they did, and he does put this person in his fourth step, he can start to understand, you know, the role that we play. You know, it turns out the fourth step is really about becoming accountable. Right? To Mr. Jones. You know, I've said it 100 times. Mr. Jones doesn't like the neighbor. Or maybe it's Mr. Jones that's not liked. I don't know. But the neighbor doesn't like the neighbor. And the guy says, what's the matter? Why don't you like him? He says, I don't know. I just don't like the guy. Turns out, you know, he has a better car. He has a better, prettier wife. And he has a nicer house or something like that. And which I can definitely, you know, raise my hand and say I could absolutely see myself not liking somebody because of that. It's called jealousy. But, you know, it wasn't until I realized, you know, that I skipped school, right? And I didn't go to school and I didn't get a very good education. And so I didn't really get to go to college. So I didn't really get to have any opportunity at higher paying jobs. So I was stuck with what I was stuck with because it was the decisions that I made. I was a victim of me. And that's fine, you know, but it's important to know, you know, it's important to know that. And, you know, and I haven't talked to my friend since he did that, add that to his fourth step. But, you know, I would imagine, you know, in the end, it ends up being about us. And it's about us being accountable for whatever situation we're in. You know, like I told him last night, the problem is it sounds like it's kind of loose, right? It'd be one thing. You know, I remember when I had my, when I was in the golf course industry and I was over in Eastern Maryland and I used to work for this guy named Guy and douchebag of a dude, man. I mean, seriously, I really miserable human being. But, you know, when I was hired, he's like, you know, you need to be to work at 6:30. And I'm like, sounds good. So I'd get to work at 6:15 and my boss would be out on the golf course, you know, walking and looking at the course. And I'm like, geez. So maybe I need to probably get in a little earlier. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll start coming in at 6. I'd get to work at 6. You know, I was not supposed to be to work at 6. I was supposed to be to work at 6:30. But, you know, insecurity, fear, you know, all that shit, you know, and deep inside, deep inside of me, I didn't like the job. I was a fraud. Right, I was fugazi, right? I was a fraud. I didn't like that job. I worked my way to. I somehow got it, but I didn't like it. I wasn't passionate about it, and I knew that. And so, unless you know, and if I had been, if I was passionate, I would love to be to work early, right? Like any, he was. I think he was passionate about the job. He was out there early, no questions asked. I wasn't, and so you know, that would be, you know, later I'd figure that out, but. You know, I said, I'll be there at 6. And then all of a sudden I get there at 6 and he's out on the golf course with a flashlight at 5:30. And I'm like, oh my God. And so I started coming in to work at 5:30 because I was a fraud. I hated my job. I didn't like the job, and I didn't want to be at the job. But I didn't want anybody else to think that because I needed the job. And so I would, out of guilt and shame, I would come into work early. I would stay late. I would do everything I thought I needed to do to make it look like I liked this job. But the reality is I didn't like the job. And then I got pissed off about it. Right? Then I became a victim and I became resentful. And, you know, yada, yada, yada. And I don't have that job anymore. And thank God. But, you know, I don't know what my buddy's situation was. You know, it does sound like, you know, come in and, you know, work your eight hours. If you come in at this time, you have to work till this time. If you come in a little later, you have to work till this time. It sounds like it's kind of this an understanding, but it doesn't sound like there's an understanding between the people that work there, I guess. I don't really know. The whole point of this is, you know, this is a great opportunity to do a four-step, you know, to add this to the four-step, to try to figure out what is going on and why it still bothers us, right? You know, if someone says, hey, you should, you know, if you have to be here at this time, it's fine, but prefer, you know, you were here at this time. And then we choose the later, but we know what they prefer. And sometimes we're the last, I'm the last person to the party, right? Everybody knows what's going on, except for either I don't or I'm ignoring it. And, you know, that's never good. So, but the point is, you know, this is what I was hoping for. I hope situations would come up in our life as we live our lives and move through it, that we can start to look at it through the eyes of the fourth step and not in a way of fear or worry, but in a place of peace and love. And only because we want to just, you know, find that, right? We want to find the peace. And like my buddy Matt used to say, I am not a victim and I am not afraid. And, you know, I get that today. And so, yeah, that's what's sort of going on. I'm curious. I'm interested to, and I also, you know, it's funny. I gave this little four-step work packet to my wife, and she's like, I need bigger boxes. I'm like, oh, no. So I don't know. I think four steps are amazing. It, you know, for me in the end, it just starts, it makes me realize the role that I play. And it's usually all the time, you know, and it shows me what a victim I've been. It shows me how unaccountable I've been and unwilling to change. And I don't want to live like that today. So I love it. All right, let's do the daily reflections and then I'm going to go to work. It's been a slow kind of week. It's summer. It's July, actually. It's just the way it is. And I'm not very busy today, so. All right, let's see what this says. Grateful for what I have, July 18th. During this process of learning more about humility, the most profound result of all was a change in our attitude towards God. 12 steps, 12 traditions. Today, my prayers consist mostly of saying thank you to my higher power for my sobriety and for the wonder of God's abundance. But I need to ask also for help and the power to carry out his will for me. I no longer need God each minute to rescue me from the situations I get myself into, but not doing his will. Now my gratitude seems to be directly linked to humility. As long as I have the humility to be grateful for what I have, God continues to provide for me. Yeah. Yeah, I love that. We were just talking about this last night. You know, it turns out if I live a really good life publicly and privately, I don't need God as much. I never can do it perfectly. So God's always there, right? I've always have this relationship. But, you know, live a good life publicly and privately, honestly, truly. And God doesn't need to be there to remind you as much. So I think that's awesome. And you know, like I said, nobody does it perfectly, but you know, I'm trying to be a lot better and I'm really grateful. But hey, happy Friday, happy whatever. Go to a meeting. I'm speaking tonight at a meeting. So that my buddy asked me if I would speak. I said yeah. So I'm speaking tonight in down in Lewis, which will be fun. And yeah, just really grateful to be sober. Hey, thanks for letting me share. We'll catch you later. Bye-bye.